So this morning we are going to be starting a message series that actually originally I wanted to do it back in the fall, actually kind of before we had one of our membership Sundays that we had at the very beginning of October, but I just didn't have space to put in the messages that I was wanting to do back then, and so this is my backup location for it. And so for our Sundays in January, all four Sundays in January, we're going to focus on our mission statement here at Calvary. It's been a few years since I first went through the process of crafting our mission statement and did a series of messages on each of the three portions of that statement. And it is in the bulletin. If you ever get a chance to look through there, you're going to see that mission statement in there each week. Since we have quite a few new faces in the mix over the past couple of years, I think this is a good time to do an overview. I want to say it was like 2019 maybe when we went through this mission statement. So this is going to be a good, hopefully a refresher for those who have been a part of the church for a while, but a good overview for those who are newer. Now, the formal structure of our mission statement, which you can find, like I said, in the bulletin, it centers around the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and it contains three action words: know, grow, go, which provide movement and direction and purpose for the mission we hope to live out. And it also contains three core identities, which relate back to the three action words and back to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The three core identities being that of a child, a disciple, and an ambassador. A child who knows that they are the beloved by the Heavenly Father, a disciple who desires to grow in the likeness of the Son, Jesus Christ, and an ambassador who goes in the power of the Holy Spirit to proclaim the good news of the gospel to a world that desperately needs to hear it. In the messages over the next 3 weeks, I'm going to be focusing on those three core identities that we find in Scripture, but for today, I really need to set the stage for those core identities by first addressing the thick, tangled jungle of identity issues present all around us in this world where we live each and every day. It is an absolute mess, and it can be difficult trying to navigate through it. Now, a few years after Lori and I both graduated from Olivet, and we were married and living in an apartment building that was owned by Olivet, there was a building next to us, another apartment building that Olivet also owned, and there were some other former Olivet students who were living in there, and there was a collection of people there that I knew. There were people that I was RAs with. I was a resident assistant with a couple of them. And they had the typical bachelor pad type situation. It was four guys living in a two-bedroom apartment, and one of them was getting married, and another one had a job back, I think, down in Tennessee. And so they were kind of disassembling, and they were moving out of this apartment. In the process of them trying to get moved out, they got started a little bit later than they should have. There was a lot of work that needed to be done. And so I ended up getting roped onto the cleaning, helping clean and move out process for them. The clock was ticking and they needed whatever help they could get. I distinctly remember standing in the middle of that messy apartment, looking around and thinking to myself, where in the world do I even begin? If you can imagine four dudes just living together in an apartment, how messy that was, dishes undone, it was horrible. And I remember just standing there like, where do I start? Where do I start in the middle of this? And what I did was the only thing you really can do in that situation, which is you pick a spot to start, pick a room to get busy, and then you just do the best you can. Get started somewhere, and eventually you can create some sort of order in the midst of the chaos. In addressing or attempting to address the topic of identity while looking around at the mess going on in our world, both inside and outside the church, I had the very same feeling that I did as in the middle of that bachelor pad. Where in the world do I even begin? As I said, I've been thinking about this series for a collection of months and trying to figure out where do I start with it. As I survey the landscape overflowing with identity possibilities, what I see happening in the midst of all of those possibilities are many, many people who encounter an identity crisis in their lives or an identity conflict in their lives, or who encounter varying levels of identity confusion in their lives. Crisis, conflict, and confusion, which can inflict people of all types. If the only time you ever hear about identity issues is in relation to things like sexuality and gender, I'm going to need you to think much more broadly than that. Identity issues are prevalent in demographic groups of all kinds, and identity issues have a much longer track record than the conversations of the past few years. One reason why identity issues are so prevalent is because we all of us, have multiple compartments to our identity. Multiple parts of our identity coexisting with all of the other parts. And sometimes those multiple compartments to our identity are able to coexist in a way that is healthy and coherent, but sometimes they don't, thus leading to crisis and conflict and confusion. As we grow and as we move into different phases of life and as we encounter challenges of all kinds in our lives, some of those identity compartments may change along the way. Something that may have been a part of your identity as a youngster may not necessarily be a part of your identity as an adult. Something that wasn't a part of your identity as you were an unchristian would be different, of course, when you become a Christian. In becoming an adult or in becoming a Christian, you acquire something new as a part of your identity, and then you have to discard something because of it. Something that may have been a part of your identity as a person without a child may not be a part of your identity as a parent. In becoming a parent, you acquire something new, and there's usually something discarded along the way because of it. Each and every time, something changes with our identity and compartments, and when something old gets swapped out for something new, the possibility emerges for a crisis, conflict, or confusion to happen in relation to all those other things going on with a person's identity. All of us have multiple parts to our identities, and that's why I'll be talking about three different identities in the coming weeks. The identities of a child, a disciple, an ambassador. Those are not three separate identities where we can pick one and only one as our sole identity. Because my hope is that we would eventually all get to the point where we would embrace and employ all three of those identities in our lives. They are three identities that we need to have working together as a foundation for who we are as Christians in this world. And those three identities probably aren't the only identity compartments you can find in Scripture, but I do think these three are vital core compartments for every Christian. When it comes to the identity compartments that people have in their own hearts and lives, I'm sure there's a lengthy list that could be made of the things that people choose to make a part of their identity. Things, and some of those that you don't just necessarily choose either. Things that people would lift up as an identifier of who they are. If I were to ask each and every one of us, who are you? We could all respond in all sorts of ways. And the ways that you might respond to that who are you question would give insight as to the important compartments in your identity. In our world today, people answer the who are you question using multiple categories. By race, white, black, Hispanic. By gender, male, female, trans. By sexuality, straight, gay, bi. By nationality, American, Mexican, Canadian. By political persuasion, conservative, liberal, moderate. By vocational roles they have or have had, doctor, pastor, veteran. By religion, Catholic, Christian, agnostic, atheist. Those are just some of the ways that people go about saying who they are, describing their identity. Those are just some of the categories that people may use as a way to identify themselves as they connect and relate to other people. Along the way, some of those categories may change and result in a crisis or a conflict or confusion. An identity crisis is when a person's identity or one of those identity compartments crumbles. Take, for example, if you were a star athlete and you were to suffer a career-ending injury prematurely in your career. On the other side of that career-ending injury, a star athlete who's been a successful athlete for a long time, but they can no longer be that, they can encounter an identity crisis. They can find themselves wrestling with who they are because they can no longer be who they were. Or imagine a parent losing their one and only child. Being a parent becomes a part of a person's identity, but what do they do when their one and only child has passed away and they no longer have a child to parent? That can cause a severe identity crisis in that grieving parent. People who retire can go through an identity crisis experience as well because a person's job can easily become a part of who they are. It becomes what they produce and what they do is vital to how they think of themselves, and it becomes interwoven with their sense of identity. And when they retire, they are no longer doing what they used to do, and there can be a deep sense of loss because of it. That loss can be deep because their work may have become a part of their identity along the way. This is why some people refuse to stop doing what they do. It's not the only reason some people keep working, but some people do keep working because their value is seen and their identity is seen in the work that they do. An identity conflict is a different identity issue. An identity conflict is an issue that occurs when different compartments of a person's identity come into conflict with each other. there are identity options which can be incongruent with other identity options, causing a conflict of interest between them, and something has to give in that conflict. An identity as a successful business person can come into a conflict with an identity as a Christian if there are generally accepted but shady practices going on as a part of running a business. If you want to be a successful business owner, but you also want to be a faithful Christian, there may come a point where those identities come into conflict with each other, and something has to be done about it. During times when our country was at war and needed to draft men into military service, there were identity conflicts which occurred for men who loved their country just as much as everyone else, but who also held the firm conviction their identity as a Christ follower was opposed to them killing. A situation where their national identity would have them doing one thing while their faith identity would have them doing something else. That's an identity conflict that had people being pulled in opposite directions. That's what identity conflicts of all types can feel like on the inside, with multiple compartments of a person's identity. There are multiple areas where a conflict can arise. When situations in life put areas of identity into conflict with each other, and again, that conflict has to be resolved some way, somehow. And then there's identity confusion, a state of being where you just don't know where you belong. Sometimes you think one thing is who you are, and other times you think something else is who you are. Being in a state of identity confusion is a heavy place to be, not knowing where you fit in, not knowing where you belong, not knowing where you can be safe. Nothing seems clear and everything seems foggy. Now, does anyone here love driving around in fog? It had been a long time since I'd driven in fog, but when I came back from my parents two Saturdays ago, it was so foggy. It's the thickest fog I had been in a long time. I had to slow down. I had to go a lot slower than I normally go because I need to be able to see safely. You never know if there's an obstruction ahead that you never know what might happen. Even though the moisture of fog is technically lighter than rain, fog feels heavy because of the way it just hangs there. And it feels thicker because it blocks your vision much worse than rain does. It's so hard to see through it, and what you want is for the fog to be gone. Nobody wants an identity crisis where an important part of their identity falls apart. Nobody wants an identity conflict where there's an internal battle tearing them apart. And nobody wants the fog of identity confusion complicating their ability to navigate their way through this world. There are things that people may do in a moment of identity crisis, conflict, or confusion that aren't necessarily the most helpful things for them to do. In their efforts to get out of a crisis, conflict, or confusion, they may opt to clutch, compromise, or collapse. If the ground beneath your feet were collapsing, or if water were rushing toward you, threatening to sweep you away, you would probably have the same natural reaction as anybody else. You'd be looking for the closest thing you could find to clutch onto and hold onto for dear life. Because in a moment of crisis, you find whatever you can to survive. There are identity choices in this world that are really bad foundations for a person's life. Identity foundations that at some point will crumble and collapse. Identity foundations that aren't strong enough to get people through difficult days. People can move from one crisis to the next, first clutching onto one identity and then clutching onto something else because the first one didn't hold up. In their efforts to resolve identity conflicts, people are often tempted to make situational compromises regarding the two conflicting identity compartments. In some situations, they let one of the identity categories be the ruling category, and in other situations, they may let the other category be the one in charge. This is something that I see happening a lot when it comes to American politics and Americanized Christianity. There are conflicts in that soup of politics and Christian faith. There are things about them that are incongruent with each other. There are things that don't line up no matter how much people may try. There are times when Christians in America sound more American than they do Christian because compromises have been made along the way to merge those together. Rather than wholeheartedly embracing one identity and discarding another in an identity conflict, people opt for compartmentalized compromise. As they go from one day to the next or from one situation to the next, they toggle back and forth between those conflicting identities according to whichever identity best suits their needs in that moment. The temptation in the foggy mess of identity confusion is a temptation to just give up, to just collapse under the weight of despair and frustration because clarity about their own identity seems impossible to get a hold of. With there being so much identity confusion in our world, people can feel lost and give in to that hopelessness. Depression and suicide are increasing problems in our world as people try to figure out who they are or just give up trying. So how can we have clarity about our identity in a world full of crisis, conflict, and confusion, in a world where people are clutching, compromising, and collapsing? Well, we can start by leaning in and listening to the things that we find in Scripture. And to do that this morning, I'm going to read from Genesis chapter 1. I know it's different for me to read from Scripture at the tail end of a message as opposed to the beginning, but I'm going to go ahead and ask you to stand with me as I read from Genesis chapter 1, and it's just verses 27 through 31. Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give you every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Go ahead and be seated. To be honest, I was very hesitant about using this particular passage for this message. Hesitant because there are plenty of times where I have seen and read this passage being wielded in ways which are unhelpful for the kind of conversations going on in our world regarding sexuality and gender. This passage isn't trying to teach us about biology. This passage isn't trying to teach us about gender roles. This passage isn't trying to do some of the things people wielding this passage are trying to do with it. This passage simply wants all of us to know that we are created beings. Human beings created by the same God who created the heavens and the earth and everything in them. I use this passage of Scripture as a starting point for a healthy conversation about identity because there is no one among us who created themselves. And because no one among us created themselves, none of us has the power or the authority to just unilaterally choose for ourselves whatever identities we want. God has a choice in that, and God has desires for the identities he would have us hold on to. It would be good for the creations of God to stick with the collection of identities that can be linked back to the God of all creation. Unfortunately, most of the identities that people do cling to nowadays are man-made. They have nothing at all to do with God's original creation. My hope over the next few weeks is for us to focus on and embrace important identities found in Scripture, which can provide a more solid foundation for our lives in this topsy-turvy world. We have the freedom to reject those identities that God has for us in Scripture, but it is the invitation of the God who created us to receive what he has perfectly crafted for each and every one of us. Over the course of these weeks, we'll be singing all kinds of songs that speak to who we are. And some of the songs we've already sung today, you'll probably hear them on following weeks. But for this morning, we're going to be closing with the song, Now I Belong to Jesus. Jesus Christ is the foundation for the lives we are called to live. A life in Christ is a life where we are no longer our own because we do belong to him. Jesus shows us what a life in line with the desires of God is supposed to look like. Jesus knew who he was. Jesus didn't have any crisis, conflict, or confusion about his identity at any point in his life. By following after him and by submitting to him, we can discover our true and complete identity in this world. And so I invite you to go ahead and stand with me this morning as we sing.